Good morning. Sounds like everybody can hear me. That's good. I want to thank you all so much for allowing us to be able to come here. As doctors practice medicine, we are practicing right now with students. We go to different congregations throughout our 2 years there and preach. Talk about God's Word to people. But it is indeed practice for our careers that we're going into. So thank you so much for this opportunity. And you have honored us so greatly by your hospitality. The food here is absolutely amazing. I will consider working out in this area now as long as I can come here for that. And your hospitality was actually very warm. We appreciate that so much. This morning, as he was talking about, we're looking at from childhood to unity, the growth of a body. And I know you all want to grow this church. Okay. Did I hear that? Was it just me? Move it up more? Okay. Are we good? Okay. I know that you all want to grow this church. So I want us to look at Ephesians chapter 4 to look at how we can do that. But growing up was an interesting time for me. I spent the first 6 years of school at a school called Trinity Lutheran School. It was a small public school in a small German township in southern Indiana. There was probably 10 or 15 people in my class at the time, between first and second. And it was so small that first and second grade were together, third and fourth grade were together, and fifth and sixth grade were together. So we had a nice, close-knit community. Everyone knew each other. We weren't afraid to be each other's friends. We weren't afraid of being made fun of or looked at for having certain differences. But then sixth grade came. I feel myself echoing really bad. Should I drop it down more? Is that better? All right. Okay. Can focus on what I'm doing now. Sixth grade came. And well, you can see me. I'm a fairly tall person. There's plenty of people that are taller. I'm not trying to set any kind of records. But growing up, I was all legs and then a head. It's pretty well what it came out to be. And my wife says I'm kind of goofy right now, and I agree with her for the most part, but you should have seen me back then. I also had braces and glasses at the time, so it was a mess going to a whole different school with about 3 to 4, 5 times as many children there. In sixth grade, 12 years old, you know how kids can be at 12 years old. And so I come in, I don't know how to use my body, because it's still, again, I'm all legs and then a head. So looking at me is very funny. And if you want to watch a comedy this weekend, you can ask my parents for my basketball home videos from grade school. It's quite comical because I had not grown into my body yet. Now I can move around just fine without falling down in the most inopportune times. But back then, my body it seemed like it was against me. It wasn't flowing. It was not together as a unit working for me. Again, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 through 16 is the text we're going to look at. But go back to the beginning of the chapter. Let's see why this is here. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 1 all the way through verse 6. We've quoted this plenty of times. For there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. All these ones, this unity of the faith, this Paul is just asking the Ephesians, I want you to be united. Why? Because there is one Lord. There's one body that we're in. We have one hope in all of this as well. So Paul, the Holy Spirit, through Paul, is saying we need this unity, this oneness. And then we start in verse 7 down through verse 13. And we see why we can have this unity. And that's through Christ. And that is through Jesus. We see in verse 10, he who descended is himself also he who ascended. This descended and ascended imagery here. What is this about? Jesus went down, descended down into the grave as a self-sacrifice, and so that he could ascend for us. And because he did that, he is everything. He is absolutely everything to us and to the church. So we have this unity, or we should have this unity, and we know why. It's because of Jesus. Then we come into verse 14. As a result. Now, as a result, we're going to look at three things this morning. As a result, we are no longer supposed to be children. But as a result, we are to grow up in all things, speaking the truth in love in that, growing up. And then as a result, causes the growth of the body. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by the waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. Tossed here and there by the waves. As was alluded to, I have three children. Saren, who's 9, Ian, who's 6, and Myrna, who's 4. Saren is a lot like little Maddie Cox. You've seen her running around here. Both 9 years old, both brown hair, both like to talk. Talk all the time. My daughter's, if you give her a second, she will just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. But that's my daughter. And this two, tossed by the waves to and from, reminds me a lot of her. Paul was looking for more of a maritime theme, ships on the water being rocked back and forth. Saren, whenever she was at school, she was dealing with some fellow classmates. This one girl in particular. See, this one girl in particular had a problem with being mean to my daughter. She would call her names, tell other students not to like her, and so my daughter would come home and say, "Dad, this person's being mean to me." And then a couple days later, she would come back and say, "Dad, she's friendly with me again. She likes me." And then a couple days later, she would come back and say, Dad, she's being mean to me. She's telling everyone not to like me." And I can just see her being tossed here and there, back and forth. And I tell her, don't believe her. But she continues to be thrown back and forth, believing every word, because she's so innocent and pure. She's like, "But I want to believe her." And I'm just like, "Well, it's going to happen again, Saren." Being tossed back and forth, being tossed here and there. I know one sister in particular who had an issue with looking at the non-institutional faith. And she had an issue with that. And she would come to us and say, "Hey, I don't understand what this is saying." We would spell it out. Just open up God's Word and say, "This is what it says. This is what God's Word says." But then she would come back and say, "But this man told me that this is the truth." And we just take her back to Scripture and say, "This is what it says." You see, being rocked back and forth. We're not supposed to be children like that. Why? Because we're supposed to stick with this unity that is in God's Word. We're not supposed to be carried about. The next part of this verse, carried about by every wind of doctrine. That brings me to my son, Ian. He's 6, and everything is big and explosive to him. There is a war going on in my back seat all the time in the car. If you have a 6-year-old boy or someone around us, anytime we're in a grocery store, he's karate chopping anything in sight. He's fascinating with all these big explosions and these big things. And so it's no surprise he comes home and talks about one of his friends, Richard or Christopher, and says, "Richard says that his dad is an astronaut. And he was on the moon last night, and he was talking with aliens." And you just seem to be carried away by this elaborate story, this wind of flamboyancy of these great and magical stories. And he's, "Dad, this really happens," and I have to let him down. It's like, no, I don't think that really happened, son. It's not really there. But again, I know someone, a dear sister in Christ. We go to their house every holiday that we can back home in Evansville, and their daughter was carried away She was even at a Christian university at the time, and she was studying with some Mormons. She was studying with some people, just got caught up with them. And she was carried away all the way out to Utah, is now at a full ride at BYU and is saying no to the faith of Jesus Christ. Carried away. We're not to be children. By the trickery of men, by craftiness, in deceitful scheming. And that's my daughter Myrna, and she's four. So it's not that hard to trick a four-year-old. She's kind of a busybody. She always wants to know, you know, where brother and sister are, because she thinks she's missing out on something. So she'll, you know, where's brother? And so I'll be like, oh, he's on the roof playing kickball. And I was like, can you hear it? And she'll... A four-year-old will say, oh, let me listen to that. Why? Because she's four. Right? But we are not supposed to be children. Why? Because we have the maturity right here. We have the consummation of all of God's plan within our own grasp. It's on computer software. It's in front of you right now. There's probably hundreds of Bibles in this auditorium. Anywhere you go to a hotel room and get a Bible. We have this, so we are no longer supposed to be children. And then we move to verse 15. Why? Because we are to grow up. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up. And this word, speaking, carries with it even the idea of practicing. Practicing the truth. Not just as Ryan said yesterday, actions speak louder than words, I believe is what he was saying. Actions speak louder than words. So it's not just I'm going to tell you the gospel plan of salvation. I'm going to live the gospel plan of salvation to show you what God wants from you. Speaking the truth in love. And then it says, in all aspects. Everything. All of us. Again, not just our speaking. Yes, we can rattle off the plan of salvation and some scripture to go along with it. Hear, believe, confess, repent, be baptized. I've done it. That's the work. I can save some. No! It's practicing the truth. It's living the truth. It's showing people what it looks like. And there is a call to completeness all over Scripture. 2 Corinthians 13, 9 and 11 tells us to be complete. Colossians 1, 28 talks about presenting every man complete in Christ. And then Colossians 2, 10, 1 Thessalonians 3, 10, James 1, 4, lacking in nothing, being complete. There is a call for every Christian to be complete in the Lord. To be whole. That means we've got to work on things that we're not very good at. That means we have to face those problems that conflict, that affect us each day. Some things that is a temptation to someone else, I'm like, oh, that's nothing. I can't believe you can't get over that. But then it can come to something as small as being patient in certain situations, and some of us fail completely, self-included. Being complete is working on those things, even when they're difficult. Presenting ourselves complete. Again, so when people see us, as we're speaking, practicing the truth in love, they see what Christianity looks like. They see what this is all about. But then it says we are to grow up in all things into Him. Into Jesus. John 15 in verse 4. It is the parable, or the allegory of the vine and the branches. John 15 in verse 4, Jesus actually says it many times throughout this verse, or this section. He says something that we really need to keep in mind, because, again, it says, grow up in all aspects into Him. Jesus said, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me." A branch that falls off of a tree just stays there. It does not grow. It does not move. It does not flourish and continue. It dies. It is no longer. It becomes a part of the earth again. Composted in. I don't want to be compost. I don't want to be dead. I want to be in Christ. Speaking, practicing the truth in love, and the only way that we can do that is if we are in Christ. So if we are not into Christ, if we're not in Christ, then what are we doing? What are we practicing? What are we speaking? Because it's not really there for us. We're not part of anything. But it says that He is the head. That this Jesus, this true vine, that He is the head. If you want, you can turn with me to Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. I believe one of my favorite passages of Scripture. It gives Jesus, it puts Him on this pedestal where He belongs, to be revered and worshipped and looked at with awe. But Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 13, "For He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile all things to Himself." And it continues. That is why Jesus is the head. And as the sermon title suggests, we're talking about the body. We've been discussing the individual. Me, you, us, individuals. We need to be growing up, looking to Jesus, who is the head. And a head by itself is not alive. A head is alive when there is a body with it. There's a reason that there's an imagery here of Jesus being the head, because we are the body of Christ. We are the Lord's body. So whenever we are a part of the Lord and He is our head, then we can be His body. And that takes us to verse 16. "From whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, causes the growth of the body." Causes the growth of the body. By what every joint supplies. We did focus on the individual, and we should focus on the individual, because every single one of us here are responsible for our own decisions. No one in this room is going to carry me to heaven, and I cannot carry anyone else in this room to heaven either. We are responsible for our own decisions. But as we make our decisions and look to Jesus, then we become a part of a body. And this body is supposed to be together, joined, held together. As in our joints, as our body is held together. God used the imagery, so let's go with it. Our body, if pieces of your body began to fall off, you would have a serious problem. And if pieces of your body fell off, would you not go to try to get them back on, to get yourself back together again? Because how can a body function if it is not together? It can't. It will not. A basic understanding of life tells us that we're... Just eyesight will tell you that we hold together. That we are together. So how does this apply to us? Just as cells connect with one another, I mean, they don't preach sermons to each other and encourage in that way. No, but we can take that and say that we need to, in order for us to stay together. We don't have to be together every second of the day, but we're together in mind and understanding. And that we're together physically as much as we possibly can. Why? Because we are a body together. And the more that we can be together, the more our body, more Jesus' body, the Lord's body, can function. And that takes us to the second part of this verse, according to the proper working of each individual part. Well, I thought we had just finished talking about the individual. And now we're talking about the group. Well, we are. You see how this is all related? The individual working of each part. When I signed up to go to the school, I decided that I wanted to be a mouth for the Lord. You can go with that as far as you want. But I did. I signed up to be a mouth for the Lord, to speak for Him, to speak His message. And each person in here has an ability, has a talent that makes them some body. You might not be able to match it up exactly to some body part. It doesn't matter. It's not the point. The point is we are all part of the body and we serve a function. Each one of us serves a function within the body. And many of us make up the heart. And if the heart is not there, if the heart is not working, brethren, we die. The Lord's body dies. When the pieces of the body, when the organs of the body, the tissue, everything stops, when each part stops working, you cannot grow. You will deteriorate. Why is it that the church is dying in so many parts of this country? Is because we are not working individually as we're supposed to. And we are not joining together as a family, as a body. We are all guilty of this. Especially me. We are all guilty of this. So each one of us has a responsibility to do our part according to what we can do, according to the talents that we've been blessed with, because everything that we have is from God. And then it comes to the last part of this verse, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. The motivation behind everything. People have told me, and I hear it so much, I know my fellow students hear it all the time. We thank you for making this great sacrifice. I don't see how you do it. It must be so hard for what you... And I appreciate those comments, and it shows the heart of the individual. They really want to see the Lord's body grow. They want to see great things. But brethren, it's not a sacrifice for me. I want to do this. I love this because I love the head of this body. And I love each person in this room as a fellow brother, as a fellow member of the Lord's body. How many of us in this room was a sacrifice for us to get up and come to worship this morning? I know a lot of you will say it wasn't at all. I wanted to be here. Exactly. In love. In love. So if we want to see this body grow, the motivation that it is, the motivation for, how did God call us? He called us by sending His own Son to be murdered for us because He loved us. I can't, that motivation is beyond me. That is just the most amazing motivation that anyone could think of, for someone to die for you. And so then we have it. It's up to us right now to have this love, building up ourselves as a church, universal, worldwide, and even right here in Cary, North Carolina, building up this church in love, looking at each other and saying, you are better than me, you are better than me, you are better than me, and I'm going to serve you because you're my brother and you're my sister. Because I want the church to grow. And I know you want the church to grow as well. I know you do. Why else would you build a building to house this many people if you don't want to see the Lord's body grow? So it is up to us. The ball is in our court. It is up to us to make this happen by the individual working of each individual part. After these verses, we see verse 17 and 18. Read with me. So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. I used to be out of touch with myself. My body just did not cooperate with the head. It just didn't. And we can laugh about it, and it is very comical. It is. But when it comes to the Lord's body, when the members, when the parts of the body aren't working in harmony, aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing, we remain as children. Our understanding darkened. It's not supposed to be like that. Verse 25. Again, if I've lost you, it's Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 25. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor. Get this last part. Remember this. For we are members of one another. The choice is ours, each one of us, to take this lesson home with us, to take it out into the streets, to take it into the Cary Church of Christ, and if we're visiting, to our home congregations. We're supposed to grow up because we have the maturity right here. We just have to look into this. And we can grow up by working the way we're supposed to, in love, because we know who our Savior is, and we know that we're all brothers and sisters with the same Father. So I leave you with a challenge. Make the choice. Make the choice. Do we want to continue on to maturity, serving our Father, growing the church, or not? I hope we all make the good decision.